So coming to the exhortation, I've based it mainly on the first reading that we had from 2 Samuel in chapter 22. 2 Samuel is it's kind of a strange book in some ways, because it's after the time of Samuel. In fact, in 1 Samuel in chapter 28, we read that Samuel had already died. And the second book of Samuel really looks at David as the king of Israel. It goes through his great deeds, his faith, the examples that he set when he was a ruler. But it also goes through some of the less savoury side. And we see some of the sins that David actually makes that he goes through. And they're recorded for us in detail in a few examples. But does this mean David was perfect before the encounter with Bathsheba? Well, it's hardly likely, but this is the first major one that's recorded, and I've listened to a few exhortations where basically it looks at this as a turning point in David's reign, that this was the reason for the things that happened afterwards, all the hardships that he had to suffer. And yet, looking at it objectively, David had hardships right through his life. In fact, some of the worst hardships were probably during the reign of Saul. He also had the Philistines to cope with, and when he was still just a young lad, he had to go and fight, or he volunteered to fight Goliath. And we also have the account of the Amalekites attacking Ziklag, where his family was at the time, and carrying them off captive, and he had to go and recover them. So David had problems to deal with right through his whole life. And some people, I mean, you might have heard the phrase that some people say the glass is half full. And in some ways, we could and should adopt this philosophy that these problems are there to build character. They're there to test us. And they're there to make sure that we put our reliance on God. Because normally it's when life is easy that sins can creep in. And certainly with David, the two that are recorded are periods in his life where things were going easy for him. The army had gone off to fight, but in the rare instance, David hadn't gone with them when he saw Bathsheba on the rooftop. And the sin that we'll be looking at in the last book of the second chapter of 2 Samuel is, again, it's a time of ease. So easy times can actually be the most difficult times, certainly in terms of faith, because it's then we can start to think that we are self-reliant, that we can do what we want, that we don't need help from anyone. But it's when things are difficult, when things go hard, is when people tend to turn to God. And I think I remember hearing not so long ago about Christianity was at its strongest during the Second World War. When there was difficulties, when there was hardships, people turn to God. And we can see this reflected right through scriptures. Judges probably being one of the main examples. where there was hardships, people turned to God. And once that hardship was over, they then got on and did what they wanted, every man doing what was right in his own eyes. So are we a glass half full person? Do we look at these tribulations as a way of building up our character and as a way of putting our reliance on God? The other strange thing I find about the second book of Samuel is the chapter we've just read. Most of it's chronological until we come to this one. This one, if you look in your margin, it might say that it refers to, or it's a repeat of, Psalm 18, the exception being just a few words at the beginning of the first verse. So why is this chapter put at the end, almost, of David's life? And I think there's lots of lessons that we can get from why it's here and why it's at the end. Because it talks about things that have gone in the past, but it also talks about forgiveness. It talks about the lessons that we've basically been reading in our Romans reading about judgment and about God. But before I look at that, and before we jump to the New Testament, to Romans, I just want to have a quick summary of 2 Samuel and chapter 23. Again, it starts with the last words of David. And again, it's just a very short psalm. But then it goes into the mighty men, a list of people of great renown. And again, this bears parallels to us, because the Bible is the book of life. And here we have this list of names in the book of life. Towards the end of Revelation, we have the book of life again. So this is a parallel between this chapter, between this book and in the New Testament. Chapter 24, again, is very similar to what I was just saying before. When David was at peace was when we get listed his second sin, numbering the people of Israel. Now, they were told not to do this. And you can read from Job's thoughts on the idea that he thought that they shouldn't be doing this. And yet, it was something, again, that's recorded as something that caused problems for David. But it wasn't just a problem, because what happened because of this, they set up the altar. That altar which was there for atonement, which was there for forgiveness. And that altar eventually became the site of the temple. So we have something going wrong and God turning it into something going right. If we jump into the New Testament, we have it recorded that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, we can read the sins that he had. And we can maybe see the problems and the sins in our own lives. But it's not up to us to judge. And that's pretty much the story, the moral behind what we've been reading in Romans. Would we judge David? Would we say that he is unworthy of salvation because of what he did? If we go back a few chapters into Romans chapter 4, we have a few verses there. I'm just going to read from verse 6, just a few verses onwards. David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Now, did David say this before his sins or after his sins? Or did he understand that God could give forgiveness? If you've still got your finger in 2 Samuel 22, David describes himself as blameless before God. Now, it's highly likely from the notes that this was written at the time when David was fleeing from Saul. Many, many years before the sins with Uriah and Bathsheba. But he still regards himself as being blameless after the forgiveness of God. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So how do we get this forgiveness? Well, again, Romans gives us the perfect example of that, because our sins can be buried, they can die in Christ, in the waters of baptism. It's the only way, really, that we can have our sins forgiven, because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who is there to make atonement for our sins, who has made atonement for our sins in that he died, that he made that perfect sacrifice, that he gave his life, that he showed his love for us, and how God showed his love for us, and that he gave his only begotten Son. So we know that we aren't perfect. We mightn't make the same mistakes that David made, but we might make others. In fact, we do make others, and we do fall far short. So it's only by this association with Christ, baptism into his name, that we can obtain this forgiveness, that our lawless deeds can be forgiven and our sins can be covered. So we've come now to remember the fact that Christ died for our sins, that his body was broken, that he poured out his blood. We remember them now in bread and in wine. And we also remember that glorious resurrection and the promise that Jesus would return to this earth, that he would descend just as those men saw him ascend from the Mount of Olives. The last few verses of 2 Samuel also has this: I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed. So David understood that the Gentiles would be there to sing praises and to give thanks to God. David was forgiven, just as we can be forgiven in Christ. So we have this to thank God for his great mercy, for his great power, and for his great love. So we come now to follow the commandment of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, for he commanded us to remember him in bread and in wine. Thank you.